listeners, welcome back to part two of my interview with Kerry O'Connor. This episode's going to hit a little different because we're not going to focus on the money emotions that we've developed over time. Instead, we're going to unearth how the pandemic in particular has shaped the way we think about money. The reason I wanted to focus on the pandemic is because I've seen a tremendous shift in women's financial emotions over the last 2 years. As I've stated previously, I'm the CEO of a beauty brand in direct sales. I have the pleasure of working with and coaching tens of thousands of women. I get to hear their thoughts, fears, and stories. And most of the time, their emotions move in sync. Think of those schools of fish that seem to move and sway together in some sort of dance. By helping women understand what they're thinking and why they're thinking it, we can help women make conscious choices about their financial stories rather than just moving with the pack. A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of speaking with Kerry O'Connor, a financial wellness coach. She had this amazing process that helps women identify their financial personalities, or she calls them archetypes. They are the innocent, the warrior, the martyr, the fool, the creator, the tyrant, the magician, and the victim. She uses these to analyze what type of financial emotion is in the driver's seat when it comes to planning and decision-making. As I took in her process, it made me think about all the women I coach and work with and how these personalities reveal themselves. What I realized is that many of the most can-do capable women changed during the pandemic. Their fearlessness to create a better financial future for themselves sort of dissolved during the pandemic. Many of them became depressed, quit on their dreams, and lost the spark that produced big results before the pandemic. In essence, they went from warriors to victims. And I'm not just reflecting on a few women. I'm talking hundreds, even thousands that we work with. You know my fish analogy? Well, victims love company too. My goal with this episode is to perhaps stop that way of thinking and turn the individual and collective mindset back into a warrior. So as you listen, I encourage you to reflect on how this might relate to you. Do you think you act as a victim at the moment? For me, the answer was yes. And the minute I realized it, I was able to change it. That's my hope for you and anyone around you that needs to stop existing and shift back into living. To follow our Kerry's thoughts on the pandemic. I have found that during the pandemic, that more women have shifted into a mindset that's more like the victim mindset, where they don't have control or they don't feel like they have control over their earnings because we had such a wonky way of being compensated during the pandemic. It was like there was federal assistance, there was downgrading of salaries, there were layoffs, there were, you know, all of these things that created this lack of control for many people. And what I'm finding is that people are less motivated to make money after coming out of the pandemic. And I wonder if it's associated with falling into this neural pathway of more of a victim mentality that they didn't have prior to the pandemic. What do you think? Are you seeing anything like that?
Yeah, I think that's incredibly insightful as far as absolute shift that has been made. And I think part of it is that a lot of people I'm seeing are not excited or inclined to go back to the same grind that they had before the pandemic. The pandemic, I feel, caused everyone to slow down a bit. Because of so much government assistance, they could slow down. Now, ramping back up feels both uncomfortable and unsavory. You're right. With the victim mentality, I think a lot of us are experiencing that now with the economy and the drop in the stock market. I think a lot of people feel very victimized right now who have saved, especially, and this pertains more to my older clientele, the ones who are either retired or on the cusp of retiring, both women and men who thought that their futures were secured, but now it's certainly a victim mentality. And one that is difficult to break. But I am seeing that too in a lot of different demographics. I think each demographic has its own challenges right now. I think my younger clients are so much more eager to start their own businesses and be their own bosses and not have to be accountable. They have become so much more spiritual and eager to carve their own paths. On the flip side, like I said, that older generation who has relied, has worked so hard, has beaten themselves down for the money that they've saved, and that is not available to them in this moment. So we're all being asked to tighten our belts in this moment in time, because if we have long-term goals, this is just not a good time to be spending money and to take money out of the stock market. If you want to do anything, save right now. Don't deplete what's there, because there is historically, stock market will always come back. But if you keep taking from it, you'll have nowhere to go back to. So it's been a highly victimized sort of financial situation for so many people.
What are our 10 minutes of three things we can do every day to get ourselves out of victim and into a different mindset where we're willing to hustle and work? Mm-hmm. And
when we talk about shifting from a victim, I think step one to for me would be to spend the time tracking those expenses and then looking at specifically where our operational financial lives are in comparison to where we want and need them to be. So proactively educating ourselves or re-educating ourselves every single day, right? On our own financial house. Secondly, the definition of a victim is you're blaming others, right? So how do we take in any area of our lives, how do we actively take blame off of others? I mean, for me, it's meditating. I think for other people, it's different things. And I think that's a place that requires a little bit of self-reflection on how to reclaim our responsibility in all of this, as opposed to blaming the external sources. And then I would say number three, I love to have my clients close their eyes and imagine themselves in 20 years. Where are you striving to get to? And keeping that always in the back of our minds and allowing every decision we make to hinge on our soul's purpose, where we see ourselves, takes shifts the responsibility from someone else and from being victimized into a place of power and saying, how am I going to make that vision a reality?
Yes. I mean, I would say that one of my biggest tips of being a magician, I think, is, and I tell a lot of people this, before I go to bed at night, when I'm laying on my pillow, falling asleep, like my meditation to fall asleep is I literally experience where I want to be in 10, 20 years. Like that it's like I'm living in it, you know?
Love that so much. It's specific. I love that.
Carrie and I then went on to discuss how our brains lead to our financial emotions and decisions. Just hearing her talk about this within the context of financial archetypes and the pandemic made me feel more in control of how I can set up my mindset for success each day. Here's a bit of that conversation.
There's a lot of different things that are going to go into changing the way our minds, I mean, process things and the way we react. We look at the brain and we make decisions based on three different sections of the brain. One is the instinctive brain, which is that like fight or flight. It's the one that just automatically makes a decision. You don't even know you're making the decision. It's just being made. Then there's the emotional brain, which is making decisions based on how you're feeling. And you're pretty aware that that's happening, but you're not making your decisions based on a real thinking through what is that the outcome of this. You're just making them based on how you feel. And then the third section of your decision-making brain is the thinking brain. And that's where you rationalize and it's logical. And that's where this work comes in, is it's trying to move our behaviors from a place of instinct and emotion to a place of rational thought and being really mindful all the time of our relationship with money, where we're going, how we want to shift our behaviors, and then making really distinct and specific changes and using our thinking brain to make sure that we put those changes into place like anything else, like we form neuropaths in our brains, and then some of them are really deep grooves that we can't seem to get out of unless we find a way to rationally think about making a different decision that probably feels really uncomfortable, but over time becomes the path, becomes the groove, becomes our flow.
As Carrie and I were talking, I was reminded of the training I often do with my sales field on growth mindset. A psychologist named Carol Dweck discovered that individuals can possess a growth mindset or a fixed mindset, and often those are developed through childhood. Our parents, community, and circumstances all play a big role in how we see our future. If you have a fixed mindset, you believe that your future has already been written. You go through each day existing rather than really living because, in your mind, nothing you do is really going to change the course of your life. It is what it is. If you have a growth mindset, you believe the opposite. The future is yours for the taking. Every effort you put in will move you in a better direction. In other words, the future you define and work towards is the one that you will achieve. During the pandemic, I actually found myself in more of a fixed mindset, something I really never experienced before. Because I train on it so often, I became aware of it. I was also aware of how I was hearing evidence of it in other people. Women who were always so driven towards a new future were saying things like, well, what's the point? Or, I really don't feel like doing more than I have to. In fact, I believe the idea of the quiet quit is not actually people rebelling against a work hard culture. I believe it was our collective fixed mindsets driving us to be less ambitious. If you believe you have no path for a new future, why work harder? I guess the question is, did the pandemic cause us to think differently about money? More like victims stuck in a fixed mindset? And if so, how deep are those thought grooves? Take some time today to think about where your mindset is. Do you have a vision board for the future that you wake up ready to make a reality? Or does the idea of a vision board make you roll your eyes? When we don't see a bigger future for ourselves, when we think that putting in effort will bear no fruit, when we believe that outside forces are to blame for our shortcomings, we give away our free will, which is the very essence of humanity. It's like wrapping our soul in a black cloth. But there is a way to choose a different path, and that is going through the 3 steps in 10 minutes that Carrie suggested. First, go through your expenses and get them to where you want and need them to be. Second, make a conscious choice to stop blaming others for where you are in your life right now, financially or otherwise. Take time to reflect on how to take control of all aspects of your life. And 3, dream up a bigger vision for your life. Make it real through visualization and vision boarding. By doing these 3 things for 10 minutes each day, you'll be amazed at how different your mindset and therefore your life can be in just a few weeks and months. I know this because I've experienced it, and I've been blessed to share this experience with other women. So that's your assignment, Eve. Because leveling up your life to bring you more happiness is the most important thing you can do. Special thanks to everyone who helped bring this episode to fruition, including our guest Carrie O'Connor, my producer John Rebecki, whose expertise with his own podcast called In Reality, Lessons from Leaders and Entrepreneurs has helped shape Unpacking Eve. Thank you also to his son John Rebecki for his work in producing and mixing. And thank you to Will Hartzell for composing our theme music. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Michelle M. Gay, Facebook at Michelle Malardi-Gay, and LinkedIn. Again, thanks for listening, and keep unpacking, Eve.